Gospel of Mark, please. Mark's Gospel. And chapter 14, Mark's Gospel in chapter 14. And we'll read at verse number 3. Mark chapter 14 and verse 3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And we trust that God would bless the reading from his word. Now, if I was to give a little title over the thoughts that I have, it would be the thought of a devoted heart displayed, as we see it in this woman that we've read about. I was thinking of what to speak on this evening, and to try and maybe just follow on a little bit from some of the messages that we've heard in recent weeks. And a few weeks ago, our brother Thomas spoke from Luke chapter 7 and reminded us of that woman who came into the house of Simon the Pharisee. And she displayed her love. She displayed her appreciation for the Lord Jesus. And she kissed the feet of the Savior. She washed, or she anointed his feet with ointment and washed them with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair. And so there was a tremendous personal act of devotion by that woman there in Luke chapter 7. And then last Tuesday, our brother Derek spoke on the life of Abraham and reminded us of how Abraham, he had a very personal relationship with his God, and he built altars and he worshipped his God. And then there was a time when he moved down into Egypt and he moved away from God's presence and from God's will for his life. But then by God's grace, he was brought back up again out of Egypt, and he was brought back to that place of Bethel, where again, that was the place of the altar where he was able to call again on the name of the Lord. So in Luke 7, there by God's grace is a woman who was recognized as a sinner in the community, and she was brought to an appreciation of the Lord Jesus. And there's Abraham by God's grace, and he was restored to appreciate the relationship that he had with his God and how that he was able to worship his God. And I was thinking of this time that we're living in, and this time of pandemic and all the restrictions and the changes in our lives, and it affects our gatherings as an assembly, and we're not permitted to gather in the way that we normally do. We're not permitted to sing our hymns and our praises, and our numbers are limited, and we're about to have to be shut down from gathering again. And even the format of our meetings and the way that we gather has been affected. But what I appreciate over this year of 2020 is that whatever is going on physically around us, it need not disrupt our relationship with our God, and it need not affect our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus and our enjoyment of God and our enjoyment of our Savior in the Word of God. And our blessings are spiritual. And they cannot ultimately be affected by anything that is physical that is happening around us. And we do appreciate that we've lost many things as a result of the things that would be happening. And As we've been thinking this evening, these are many things that we take for granted. But these things cannot take away from us the Word of God and the truth of the Word of God and the blessings that we have in our Lord Jesus. And so I just want to bring a little challenge to our hearts this evening as to where are we in relation to our personal appreciation of our Savior? And what is the real condition of our hearts and our feelings for the Lord Jesus? And we see it displayed in this woman here in Mark chapter 14. And we see her love and her devotion for the Lord Jesus. And this would undoubtedly be a separate event from Luke chapter 7, there in the house of Simon the Pharisee. But here is this woman who doesn't have a name given to us in Mark 14. And I think we read about the same event in Matthew 26. And I think we probably are reading about the same event also in John chapter 12, where we know it's Mary of Bethany who anoints the Lord Jesus. I know that not everybody takes the view that these are all the same anointings, and I'm not going to get delayed by further considering that. But we have here this woman, and she is showing her appreciation for the Lord Jesus. And you'll notice the way that this is brought to us, both in Matthew 26 and here in Mark 14, this is brought to us sandwiched between the movements of those who hate the Lord Jesus and who have no thoughts about the person of the Lord Jesus other than to be rid of him. And so at the beginning of this chapter, in the first two verses, you read about the chief priests and the scribes, and they're taking counsel, and it says there in verse 1, they sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. So they're seeking after something. They are seeking to destroy the Lord Jesus. And then after this passage that we've read, we've got the movements of Judas, the betrayer. And he goes to the chief priests, and we read in verse 11, and Judas sought how he might conveniently betray him. And Judas betrays the Lord for money. So he is seeking after something. And these chief priests and scribes, they're seeking after something. But in between these verses, we've got this, it's been described as like a jewel set against the dark background of these other people. The jewel against the dark velvet background. Here is this woman who, what is she seeking after? She sought to display her love and devotion for the Lord Jesus. So the chief priests and the scribes, they sought to be the murderers of Christ. And Judas, he sought to be the betrayer of Christ. But this woman, she sought to be a worshiper and an adorer of Christ. And the Lord certainly appreciated her act of love. And I think the Spirit of God records this in that way to highlight to us really what is fundamentally important to God. As far as what it means to be a believer in the Lord Jesus, in contrast to these actions of those who were unbelievers and those who hated the Lord Jesus, these religious rulers who were seeking to destroy him, Judas seeking to betray him, he's motivated by his covetousness and his desire for personal gain. But in contrast to these ones, when we think about this woman, I think we learn really what true Christianity is really all about, in terms of giving genuine expression to the feelings of our heart, the feelings of love and devotion that we have for the Lord Jesus. And so I just want to challenge each of our hearts tonight as to what is there in my life, what is there in my heart that gives expression of my love and my devotion for the person of the Lord Jesus. And what is the Lord able to appreciate in my life that displays my love for him? And so this woman, she comes into the house of Simon the leper. And the Lord Jesus has been clearly invited into this man's house. And he's reclining, he's eating meat at this man's table. And it's not without significance that 2 days before the Lord Jesus will be crucified at Calvary, that he would be in the house of one who had been a leper. And I think it's likely that Simon the leper was one who had met the Lord as a leper and had been healed by the Lord. And Simon is now showing his expression of his love and his appreciation for what the Lord had wrought in his life. And if Simon, assuming it is the case that he had been healed by the Lord, he knew that if that had not taken place, he would have lived the rest of his life as a leper. He would have died as a leper. He would have lived and died as an outcast from this world. And that is exactly the kind of life that the Lord Jesus had to live in this world. That was the kind of death that the Lord Jesus had to die when he was on the cross. The verse in Isaiah 53, verse 3 says that the nation of Israel, they say, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And that's the thought that men preferred not to look towards the Lord Jesus. They so despised and hated him, they turned their faces away from him. And that's what men did towards those who were lepers. That's the way that lepers were treated in those days. And the Lord Jesus, he experienced that as he was here in this world. And ultimately, at Calvary, he was treated as a leper, as an outcast of society. And he was taken outside of the city wall of Jerusalem, and he was put to death there. And Simon the leper knew well the kind of life and the kind of death that he had been spared from. And he here is displaying his appreciation for the one who just in a few days was about to die the death of an outcast there at Golgotha. And so we can all appreciate in some measure, I'm sure, as we live in this world, as Christians, pilgrims and strangers in this world, and at times it can be a hostile world, but we know that the Lord Jesus is the one who is able to preserve us in such a world as this. And so this woman, she comes in, and she brings something of great value, and she takes her alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, and it says it's very precious. Verse 5 says it was worth more than 300 pence, so it was truly a great sum of money. And she doesn't just pour some of it on the Lord Jesus, but she broke the box and she poured it on his head. She offered everything that she had for her Lord. She wasn't intending to keep some of it for herself, take some of it back home for herself. She poured it all out on the head of the Lord Jesus. She didn't withhold a single drop. And you know, I wonder if she had Song of Solomon chapter 1 in her mind. It says there in verse 3 of that chapter, because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. It says in verse 12 of that chapter, while the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. So she was anointing the one that she acknowledged as her Lord, as her king. And she was desiring just to reveal the fragrance of his name and the beauty of his person. And there were some who witnessed this, and they had indignation at what she had done. And Matthew 26 tells us that it wasn't just Judas that thought that, it was some of the other disciples as well. And they thought it was a waste. It was a waste of resource. It was a waste of money. Why was this waste of the ointment made? And they protest there in verse 5. It could have been sold for the poor and so on. So they're saying this was a waste, what this woman had done. But the Lord Jesus says no. Verse 6, he says, leave her alone. Why trouble you her? She hath wrought a good work on me. So the Lord Jesus appreciates the feelings that we would have for him. And I'm sure that many unbelievers in this world, they would look at the lives of Christians and they would think it's a waste of a life. And the way that a Christian lives is really just a waste. And they would look upon us maybe with some disdain and some indignation. And even when we gather, and they would look on our gatherings, and we gather to give expression of our thoughts for the Lord Jesus, and they would say, you know, it would be far better if you just went out into the world and you looked after the poor and you did something that was practically helpful for the people in this world. And they would look upon the life of Christians with that kind of maybe mockery and that degree of disdain. But the Lord Jesus is telling us here that he appreciates everything that this woman has done. And he defends this woman's act of devotion. And he says, leave her alone. She has wrought a good work on me. A good work. And that word good, it's an excellent work. It's a noble work. It's something that is morally excellent. It's something that is worthy of recognition. And we know that good works can be done on other men around us, and we can appreciate that, and we wouldn't criticize anything that is done in that way. But what the Lord is just maybe teaching us here is that even better than good works that might be wrought upon men and women in this world is a good work that we can do directly upon the person of the Lord Jesus. And we can give expression of our feelings and our love for him. And this is what we have the opportunity to do as believers here in this world. And even in our individual lives, in our individual relationship with the Lord Jesus, we can give display to our feelings and our appreciation for him. And the Lord is indicating here that what this woman did, she was seizing her opportunity. He says to them, you know, you have the poor always with you. Whensoever you can do them good. But me, you have not always. And so we need to just appreciate those opportunities that we have as believers here in this world to have lives that show love and appreciation for the Lord Jesus. And the Lord says she's done what she could. There in verse 8, she gave of what she had to the Lord Jesus, and he appreciated it. And it was very costly what she had done. And that is all the Lord Jesus desires from any of us. You know, sometimes we feel that there's not really much that we can do, and there's very little that we have. But whatever we can do, whatever we feel able to do, the Lord will appreciate that we can do what we feel able to do. And he says there in verse 8, that she has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. And I think we see here the thought that what this woman had done was an act of faith. And I think she had heard the Lord Jesus talking about giving up his life. And she believed that he was soon to die and to be buried. And I think her faith also caused her to believe that he was the one who would be raised again from the dead. And she desired that his body, when it was on the cross, his sacred body, when it was placed in the tomb, and even when he was bodily moving again in resurrection, she desired that there would be that fragrance from what she had done as he would die, as he would be buried, and as he would be raised again. And so it was an act of faith. And so the Lord says, she's come aforehand to anoint my body. And you think of what we do for the Lord Jesus and the way that we express our feelings, our worship, our praise, the way that we serve our Lord. It's all an act of faith. It's all because we absolutely believe that he is the risen man who is alive and seated in heaven at God's right hand, the one who's coming again for us. What we can do is an act of faith. And then I just want to finish, I'm a little bit over the time here, but just one more minute, just to finish there in verse number 9. Because the Lord Jesus, he says a really important thing in verse 9. He says, "Verily I say unto you, that wherever this gospel is preached throughout the whole world, this also that she has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." And some suggest that the fact that it's recorded in Scripture is the memory of it. But the Lord says that what she's done is to be spoken of for a memorial of her. Not just written about, but spoken of in the preaching of the gospel. And every time the gospel is to be preached throughout the whole world, there's to be some memory of this woman's act of devotion. And we might consider, well, what does the Lord Jesus really mean by that? And I think what he's telling us here is that this is what the gospel is intended in the lives of every believer. This is where the gospel is intended to bring each one of us to a place where we will be showing our heartfelt appreciation and love for the Lord Jesus, and that there might be the fragrance of our praise and our worship and the expression of our love and our devotion to him. And I think if we don't grasp that, then we really do miss really the most important aspect of Christianity. Beyond any service that we can render, beyond our gatherings as companies of believers, beyond even the specifics of the protocol and the format of our gatherings, beyond all of these things, what is the most important thing as far as God is concerned, as far as the Lord Jesus is concerned in the life of a Christian? Wherever the gospel is preached, this is where I want you to be brought through the gospel. I want you to have hearts that are like this woman, that can just display a love and appreciation for the Lord Jesus. And so that is the main point I want to make. And viral pandemics can come and they can go, and our gatherings are affected by all of these things. But let us have hearts that are secure in our personal appreciation for the Lord Jesus and our devotion to him. And so that the challenge that I want to bring to us is my heart tonight anywhere close to the heart of this woman that we read about here in Mark chapter 14? And may it be that our hearts are kept in a place where whatever is going on around us, we can enjoy our own personal appreciation for the person of our Lord Jesus. So we trust that God would bless his word to us. Shall we pray?